You know what's so powerful about praise and worshiping God is you actually begin to see who you really are. Has anyone ever talked to you about someone you didn't know and just made you believe you wouldn't like them? Anyone ever been there? They just talked someone down or so bad, put them down or disregarded them so much that when you met them, you already didn't like them. You just didn't like them. But you didn't know them because of someone else's experience. But your experience is unique with God. You need to get to know Him before you deny Him. You need to get to know Him before you reject Him. You might like Him. I think you will. He's God. He's great. He's good. He's present. He's power. He's wonder. He's life. You're here because He is. We have laws. There has to be a lawgiver. That's God. And the law of the Lord is that He loves you so very much. I want you to get your good feel on today. God wants you to feel peace and joy and acceptance and happiness and life and love and truth and wisdom. He wants you alive today. Paul said something once. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, and he said, whether in the body or in the spirit, he said, I don't know. Now, Paul's referring to himself, but he's inclined to make sure that he isn't aggressive towards self-acceptance or praising himself. He's just all about praising God. I like that about Paul. And he said, I went to the third heaven. How many of you would like to go to the third heaven? Would that be an experience? I mean, come on. I've read that scripture over and over and thought, man, the third heaven, that would be an awesome place to be. Have you ever known someone that passed away and they went home and you said they went home to be with the Lord? And a lot of times you'll hear something said like, heaven needed them. What if that's true? What if heaven needed you? Think about heaven. And when you're thinking about heaven, take your seat, because you'll already be on high. What if that was true? What if heaven needed you? And you have to keep in mind that God created all things for His purpose and for His pleasure. Okay, so this is God's design. This is God's will. And again, the word says only a fool looks up and says there is no God. Of course there's a God. There's creation. There's life. There's reality. Reality has to come from someone that is real, or reality can't exist. Are you sure you're here today? Are you real? How many of you are real today? How many of you are sure you're real? Are you really here? Are you Jonathan? No matter what you think, I know that I'm real here today. Maybe you're all a vision of mine, but I'm real. What if heaven needed you? What if where we want to be and what we want to see in the fullness of God, fullness of life, if you will, why am I here or what's going on? What if the knowledge you can get on your own is the fantasy? Because we know our emotions, they're deceiving. One day you want one thing and the next day you want something else. Very, very uncertain uncertainty. We're certain we want something that we're not really sure we want after we get what it was we really wanted. We've all been there. But what heaven wants is the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is the kingdom of God. It's the King. It's the mind of God. And all of heaven, and the word declares, even the heavens can't hold God. He's omnipresent. He's just everywhere present. Now, you may not acknowledge Him. It's just like closing your eyes to something and running into a wall and acknowledging the wall, but not the space that you could have walked in. and just saying that the wall is reality. Well, the wall exists, but it's not where you're supposed to go. God doesn't want us running into walls. What if heaven wanted you? What if heaven needed something from you? And you can say, needed? Well, you have to remember, God created it all, so it's all his idea. I didn't say, what if God needed something? What if heaven needed something? But what if there's something God wanted out of you? If he created all things for his purpose and for his pleasure, they were and they are created. How many of you were created by God? Okay, of course you are. You're here, you didn't choose to be here. God created you. Mom and dad can't say, this is who I'm going to have and what I'm going to have and what they're going to be. What mom and dad do is pray, dear God, please let it be a good son or a good daughter. You know, let them bring me joy and not pain. But God makes the decisions, and it's our inability to understand what those decisions are that sometimes make us doubt, because we look to our natural mind in order to have a concise or precise or exact understanding of what we are, what life is, because we're created for a purpose. So purpose is shouting out in you. Purpose is a part of who you are. God's purpose. All things are created for him, by him, through him. Without him, nothing was made. Everything is made. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I see God wanting us to do today. He wants us to enter the third heaven. Have a third heaven experience. Now Paul said when he saw the third heaven, he said it was things that were beyond expression, things that I couldn't imagine, things that weren't even allowed to be spoken, the inscrutable things. Sounds like another scripture, doesn't it? Call on me, Jeremiah 33:3 says. This is God. Call unto me, and I'll answer you. He didn't say, I'll do what you want me to do. He said, call on me, and I'll answer you. I'd rather God do what he wants to do than do what I ask him to do. Because what he does every time you ask him. But whether or not you're blinded to it because you refuse, because someone talked you out of believing what God is revealing, you know, you should have this or you should have that, or why does God allow this or why does God allow that? Why do you allow the things you allow? Why do you doubt that God is present with you, to guide you, to lead you? And when you do believe, what happens? A different world opens up to you, a different understanding. The word says we were all lost, but what if heaven was looking for something? What if when you're born, just like when you die, God wants that soul in heaven. There's a purpose for that. Because God has no end. Nature shows us that. You have a seed, you plant it, it produces a fruit, a tree, a plant, and it's there forever. Now, the plant in itself may not be there, but the seed of the plant goes on and on and on, and it drops the seed, and it grows more without you doing anything. A bird's come and carry it off. You know, a bug, the wind. Nature in itself, the divine order of God, today didn't just show up. Today was brought about by the will and the purpose of God. Don't be so blinded in life that you walk through life just figuring everything is. That's the height of ignorance. And if you'll pardon my crudeness, stupidity. But wisdom is looking at the creation that God has made and seeing the wonder of God and worshiping him for who he is. And you know who he is? He's love, he's God, he's good, but he's endless. He's endless. There is no end. There is no end. There's no end to you. And if someone says, oh, I wish you'd just go away, you can tell them, I'll never go away. I'll just go from one glory to another. But I'm here for keeps. You stay forever. Because the very nature of the one that created you is eternal. And what if that eternity wants a piece or a part of you that is a whole? In other words, when God gives and does, he doesn't give us a piece, or that would be incomplete. God is complete. He is whole. So everything God does is complete, and it's whole in its entirety. And he said to Jeremiah, he said, call on me, and I will answer you. The third heaven, Paul says, things I heard, things I couldn't say. All the way back to Jeremiah, God says, call on me, and I'll do you a Paul experience. Call on me, and I'll answer you. I'll show you inscrutable things. I'll show you things that you cannot explain, things that would be difficult to talk about, heavenly things. Call on me, and my answer to you is third heaven. What if the next great appearance of the Lord is the third heaven? And does the third heaven exist right here and right now? The truth is, yeah, the third heaven is alive. If Paul can do it, so can I. If Paul can go there, so can you. If Paul can hear things, if Paul can see things that are beyond human intelligence and yet understand by the Spirit of God, by saying, I saw things, I heard things, I knew things that were beyond my ability to utter them, then that's God showing you exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think. There's two scriptures that back up Paul's third heaven experience. Now, this is what's so important about the third heaven experience, is it's the revealing of the kingdom of God. It is the appearance of the Lord. How does God appear? Jesus made it very clear. He said, you are my body. You are my body. God is a spirit. He required a body. What if there's something about you God wants, just like when we think about someone who dies and we say, well, heaven must have needed them. I remember I ministered a funeral many years ago. I wasn't sure what I was going to say. There were about 1,000 people there. It was a very close friend of ours, and I got up, and the mic was fastened right here, so I couldn't move. And I had some wonderful black pastors behind me. It was a black church, and I love black churches. I could preach in them all, like, at least once a month, because they just get behind the word. They just get so excited. I wish you were all a little more black. I hope I didn't say something wrong, but I guess it really doesn't matter since I'm covered. But as I got up to speak, number one, what threw me, first of all, is I couldn't do what I'm used to doing. I couldn't move. I had to stay right here. And I've got these elders. I don't know how many of them just, when I stood up, they sat down. And I thought, oh, man, you've got a little white boy in a big black church. What's going to happen here? And so I got up and I just started speaking, and God spoke through me and said, why do you think everything that needed to be accomplished had to be accomplished through him right here? God had need of him. And I mean, the place erupted. These pastors stood up and started cheering and shouting. I mean, we had church. It was supposed to be a funeral. Everybody was crying when I came in, and everyone was shouting when I stood up. Sometimes you just have to stand up and declare that there is no end. It isn't over, but it is finished. What is finished? The beginning will never end. What is finished is what God started will never end. And the third heaven, think about the first heaven is right here somewhere. And you can touch the first heaven. It's just above you. And think about the second heaven is where the moon and the sun and the stars are. You can't quite get there. You can. If you get a hold of Elon, you can get there. I might talk to him someday about that. But so you might get to the second heaven, but the third heaven is beyond your comprehension, because it isn't a place that you would know where to go. Where would you go if you were going to the third heaven? Just keep going straight up? Where would you go? What'd you say? There's no end. I would go to there's no end. You would just keep going and going and going and going and going. And sometimes that's what we do in the body. We continue to go, hear me prophesy to you. The third heaven is a reality of God that exists within the faith of his creation, because we died to ourselves and entered a different type of reality. A perception beyond the ability to think your way through. And if you think that little piece of meat between your ears is able to reveal who you even are, you know good and well you can't even figure that out. So don't try to tell me who God is. God moves beyond the realm of man's ability to conceive God, reality, or life. He is the only life. That's why Jesus said, you'll never figure it out. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You may come to terms with something, just like you can break your leg and come to terms with it's going to heal, or maybe it will never heal. You can come to terms, but it's not the way it was supposed to be. And the way that it is supposed to be is the will of the Father. The will of God is perfect and good. That's why the word says, my God, his way is perfect. your understanding of what is and isn't your job. One time they asked and they said, show us when you're coming. Show us the reality of this time. And Jesus said, God said, he said, it is not meant for you to know the time or the date that God has placed within his own authority. And then he goes right into, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come from you. He goes into, tell me when you're going to set up your kingdom here. And God says, it's none of your business, basically. Here's what your business is. You will be filled by the Holy Spirit, and you'll bear witness to who I am and not where I am. Jesus said, you can't come where I'm going. And they said, we can come. And then Jesus changed his mind, right? God never changes his mind, but he baited the passion of their revelation. And he says, you can go where I go. But your faith needs to tell you that you can go where I go. You need to know that where he is, there we are. It's not that God is just with you. It's that God is in you. And the only way you will ever know him is by his expression through you. Your husband, your wife, your children, your grandma, your pastor can't show you who God is. What we can do is bear witness to the reality that we know. And my reality is just as real as you are. And if your reality is who God said he is and what his word declares he is, then God's reality is on the inside of you, and you're going to go someplace you've never gone before. You're about to enter the third heaven, because the third heaven of God is a revelation of Christ in you. It's beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your ability to attain by any natural means, by any philosophy, any ideas. We're talking about a reality of God's kingdom. And Jesus said it like this. And he said, I want you to seek the kingdom of God. God says, I will to do a new thing. What is God's will? Well, God said, I want to do some new things. And what does that mean? He's going to, like, build a new city in the desert, or he's going to build a new church kind of thing, or new music, or new... What is a new thing? What would God do that would be a new thing? Well, the new thing is endless. There is no end to the new thing. But God says, I will to do it. But he says, before I do it... So we're all waiting. How many have been waiting for God to do a new thing? God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. God is doing... It's like Jesus said about the kingdom. He said, you can't observe it. You can't watch it happen. I'm telling you, by a word of revelation and prophecy, we've been waiting for something we're never going to see until we see it. It's already happened. You can't see the kingdom, Jesus said. And anyone that tells you that it's coming here or it's coming there, he said, it's not true. The kingdom of God resides and presides on the inside of you. It reigns and it rules. And at some point, you have to say, I'm going to know God by who he is through me. Because I am the body of Christ. That's humility. Because you know you're not capable of that at all. Freedom is important. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. What did that mean? The word finished is a Greek word for it's completely whole. It's in its entirety. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any more done than this. Someday the devil is going to be defeated. No, that day he was defeated. And you know how he was defeated? Let me reveal something by the word. He wasn't defeated because on the cross Jesus went and just killed him. When he fell from heaven, he fell from power. So when the disciples came to him and said, we have the power to cast out devils, Jesus' attitude was, of course. You didn't know that? You didn't know walking in my name and in my nature that every spirit had to fall away no matter what it was? And then Jesus says something really unique, really interesting, really powerful. He said, I've already seen him fall like lightning. Don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Of course they are. That's nothing to be praiseworthy about. But rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the reality. So on the cross, the "it is finished" was the work of God's Spirit in your consciousness to every believer that comes. The Word says what the old law could not do, Jesus did on the cross. What could the old law not do? The old law could not free you from yourself. The old law could not free you from your consciousness of your past. It couldn't free you from the consciousness of what you had done, no matter how hard you tried to forget, and the guilt that you bore. So it made you an unclean vessel in the consciousness of your reality or your real consciousness. But what Jesus did is he said, I'm going to become everything for you without the guilt of doing it. I'm going to become that for you so I can free your consciousness of sin. And what the Word says is when he brought down, he destroyed on the cross, triumphed over it, every principality, every power, everything. He did it through you. He did it by purging your consciousness. So you were no longer, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So you can't say, I didn't do good enough, or I didn't. No, your consciousness, the Word says, was what was destroying you, because every time in the Old Testament they would bring the offering for sin, the Word says their consciousness condemned them because they knew they would be right back in the same position, unchanged, with the same consciousness, just doing an act of obedience, which the Word says was literally a schoolmaster, a teacher, a trainer, getting you to the point of having a consciousness free from sin. And then the reality here that you need to get into and not just get out of your sin, you need to get into the righteousness of God. That's true freedom. Is that it has nothing to do with what you've ever done, ever can do, ever will do, or ever did do. Nothing whatsoever at all. I could take a dip out of a cesspool, a jug, and pour it in a pitcher and serve it to you. And I doubt you would drink it. I hope you would not. That's bad. I could take that pitcher and take one drop of sewer and show you and drop one drop of sewer into that pitcher, and I bet you wouldn't drink it either. See, it just doesn't matter how much it is. Dirty is dirty. Impure is impure. Wrong is wrong. There is no measure of it. And God concluded everyone under sin so he could free your consciousness from sin. So you could never say, well, I was good enough that he freed me. No, you were bad enough, you couldn't get free. And he didn't set you free by forgiving you of your sins. He set you free by making you the righteousness of God. He forgave your sin because there was no place for it to go except to be gone from your mind. So see, it is your conscious reality of who he is that frees you into who you are. I in you and you in me. He didn't just say I in you or you in me. He said, I in you and you in me. That where there's a unity of power. The third heaven is available. This generation is going to walk in the third heaven because the third heaven is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is exactly the fulfillment of the word when God said to Jeremiah, call on me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. But you have to know that that's your reality. You have to know that time is standing still only in your mind, but because the kingdom of God is all time, all the time, and there is no end. There is no one appearing of Jesus Christ. He will never come and end. He will never stop being glorious, no matter how he comes. His glory will continue, glory after glory after glory. And we shouldn't wait for one that we have to wait on. We should experience the one that exists today. I will say of the Lord, this is the day you have made. I rejoice in it and I'm glad. And let God come in every glory that he wants to. You won't stop it anyway. But if you don't understand what his glory is, you won't see it when it does happen. You run to the rocks and ask them to fall on you just because you want to ignore the reality of there's something greater about me than me myself. Because God created me for his purpose and for his pleasure, for his will, for his wisdom. He is God with me. He is God in me. The Lord has made you to touch the third heavens. God has created you to know things you couldn't know on your own, to bear witness in you, to you, and through you, that Christ is working in you. And that's what he said. Paul said, hey, my words are not just words. He said, my words are in a demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. That's how I know who I am. If God had never done a wonder through Paul, he still wouldn't have doubted God because of what God did within Paul himself. There was a revelation and a transformation, and in order for Paul to see it, he had to become blind to himself. And God blinded him. Some of the things you experience, those daunting things, those challenging things, those uncertain things that you can't figure out, take on the word that Jesus said, it's not for you to figure out, because you're fatiguing yourself. You're working too hard. When doing right just becomes too hard, you're doing right wrong. You're trying to work your way into something. The greatest authority you will ever experience is the greatest rest you ever enter into. When it's no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who he is, what he said, and what he did. The reality of the Lord will penetrate you, be revealed in you, and no one will ever be able to strip that away from you, no matter what. The third heaven is the place where we are consciously aware that Christ is working through us, that he's revealing things that we didn't know. He's revealing, and what is that? The reality of who he is on the inside of you. Think about the coming of the Lord as God revealing who he is in you and you being caught up in revelation. Just see that image. God's glories are endless. Think about the Spirit of God being so revelatory on the inside of you that you were literally caught up to the third heavens. I saw things I didn't know. I heard things that I'd never heard before. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit does what? He searches the depths of God. And what did Jesus say? He said, everything that the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. Everything that the Holy Spirit reveals, he's going to reveal it to you. And what he reveals to you becomes a part of you. This is your reality. The third heaven of God is the next glory of God. But today is that glory. Everything that God does is always present in the right now. All that it produces, just like a seed, if it's a tomato seed, it is a tomato from the word get go. Not sure what that word means, but I've used it many times. Get go. I don't know how you do that, but we'll do it. The moment that it's in the ground, it's still the same thing. When it dies to itself and the chaff, if you will, falls away, the spirit of that seed becomes the reality of where it came from. So are you. It's so simple. Nature makes it so clear. A child could get this. But through religion, you're not able to. Do you believe what you believe, or do you believe what someone told you? Do you believe what is in you, or do you believe what you've been indoctrinated to believe? Do you even have a faith, or does it belong to someone else? Do you know what reality is? Do you know what the reality of faith is? No one can tell you that except the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Because God, Jesus said, I am not a way, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one gets to the mind of the Father, and that's where your reality is, except he comes through me. Because when you receive Christ for who he is, your consciousness is free, because you can't say I did too much bad or too much good or I hope I'm there. And none of that applies any longer. Time stands still, and yet all of reality becomes right now. In simple terms, God is everything on the inside of you. All time, all space, all mass, all reality. He's all of that right here, right now. And it all has to happen at the same time, just like creation. I heard a man describe it one time. He said, the Trinity of Trinities had to happen all at once. Because if God were to create time, space, and matter, if God were to create matter, where would he put it? So there had to be a where. And when would he put it? There had to be a when. So space, time, and matter had to coexist at the same time. It only makes sense. How do you put something someplace when someplace isn't there? And how do you do it at a certain time if a certain time doesn't exist? It all has to happen at the same time. Simple. God is the all thing, all place, all time. He is the omnipresence all the time. Your reality. It's not what you hold that is your reality. It's not what you know is your reality. It's who you are. You can lose something you have, but you cannot lose who you are. You might forget something that you had, whether it's on your head or it's lost. And you can look for it, but you're always going to be there looking for it. You can't get away from you. And the reality God wants you to know is the seed that you came from, His Word. You are the reality of His will. You are the reality of His Word. It's third heaven time. It's time for religion to take a knee and for the church to raise their hands and say, God, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Be revealed in me. I want to go beyond the first heaven. This is great. The stars and the moon and Mars and all that, that's amazing. But I want to go where no man has gone before. Remember Star Trek? I want to go where no one can go. Third heaven time. We're stepping into the third heaven time. And you know where it comes from? God says, I'm going to do a new thing. But before I do it, I'm going to reveal it to my servants, the prophets. Why can't God just do it? Well, God can do anything. But He didn't, He said. He wouldn't, He said. Unless He reveals His secrets. Why? Because you're the reality of His will. Why would He tell you if it wasn't important? Everything God does, He does for purpose. He does by His will, and His will and His way is holy, and His will and His way is perfect. So why would He tell you? Because He wants you to become the reality of His Word, just like He wants the seed to become the reality of the tree. You are that reality, but you have to know it, and you have to cast off everything else. That's called dying to yourself. God calls Moses, and He says, I want you to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing through you. It's never been done before. And the Word says the things God did in the wilderness had never been done before. It was a mark in an era of time, a wonder. And you may think, I don't feel like I have what it takes, then you're not hearing anything. The less you know you have, the more reality you are to what is necessary to the task. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and nothing shall be impossible to me. Not anything will be impossible to me. Say that. This is the greatest day of my life. Say it. And only good can happen to me. No matter how bad it looks, only good can happen to me. Because I'm called to go from glory to glory to glory. From faith to faith. Do you see? It just doesn't end. When you stop looking for the conclusion, stop looking to get out of the storm and start learning how to live in the reality of its purpose, you'll love the storm. It'll feel better than the calm because you will preside and need to preside in the wisdom and the revelation of who Christ in you is in order to be there. And that's the most peaceful, powerful, certain place you can possibly be. And then storms no longer feel heavy. Come to me, Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. It's not heavy and burdensome like the yoke of your will and your desires and trying to figure me out. Don't figure me out. Find me out. Seek for me, and you will find me. I will be revealed to you. I'll show you great and mighty things you didn't know, inscrutable things, things beyond the comprehension of your own intellect. I'll lead you in the way you should go. So God tells Moses, I want you to go. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Not set them free, because Pharaoh didn't have the power to set them free. Only God can set someone free. You can leave one place that you don't like and say, well, I'm free from that. Yeah, but you would go to someplace else similar because you maintain the same consciousness that got you where you were in the first place. That's why a lot of times people in very tough relationships leave that one. They're kind of happy, sad, not sure where they are, and step into another one thinking going into the next one will be better. But it's the same thing because it's the same consciousness that's attracted to the same attitude and spirit and mind. So you just ping pong back and forth. Nothing changes. But God changes you. He transforms you into the image of His likeness. That's the seed of your creation. In the beginning, God said, let us make creation, men and women, our own image and in our own likeness. And in the image of God created He them, male and female. That's it. That's all too. And God was glorified in it. And God blessed them. And He called them blessed. That's why I say this is the greatest season of your life. Do you believe the Word of God? He called you blessed. If God calls you blessed, it's better than anybody else calling you blessed. It's better than you asking for a blessing. See, you don't need freedom from anything ever again. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called you to glory and virtue. You just have to receive Christ as the Redeemer, Lord, Savior, because He's given it to you. What you need to do to enjoy your freedom is to walk into something better than what you came out of. And that's a revelation of Christ in you. Christ in you. See, you'll never get out of trouble. You'll never get out of bondage until you get in to who He is in you. You take a prisoner out of prison, you say you're free, here's your clothes and a few bucks, be free, be happy. Where is he going to go? It's not what he got out of that's his freedom. It's a better place that he can get into. That's true freedom. God has a better place. And it begins in the conscious awareness of your mind. This is not my world to fight in. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's your third heaven. But you need to know where you're at, otherwise you're blind. When Jesus came, the Word says that, He came in a glorious way. It was evident. And we think, well, people just didn't believe He was God, so they rejected Him. That's not true at all. They knew He was God. That's why they rejected Him. Because they knew it would destroy their religion if someone of authority would strip them of their ability to compromise and to rule over people with laws and ordinances that they didn't keep themselves. The Word said they knew God, but rejected Him as God and would not worship Him. Isn't that amazing? How could someone know God and reject Him? Well, the Word says they did. So much so that they said, if He does a wonder that no one could do but God, then let's try and destroy Him. It wasn't that they didn't see God, that they didn't know God, but they didn't worship Him as God. We have to worship Him as God Almighty, God ever-present. Nothing is going to go wrong. Because of Galatians 8:28, all things have to work together for good. But you have to be aware of that, or when God is making the transition, you'll think something wrong is taking place. Something bad is going on. That's what David finally said. No matter where I go, the shadows of death, my enemies, he said, I'm going to dine in the presence of the Lord. Where could I go from your spirit? You're with me all the time. Surely only good will happen to me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord. That's the third heaven. And to live from that space, to begin from that place, is where all of God's revelation sets you free. God said to Moses, go and do a new thing. Moses said, I can't, my speech isn't good. God said, I'll be with your mouth. I'll be in through you. You can go anywhere. You can do something. You can do anything. You can do great and mighty things. You just need to stop listening to religion trying to introduce you to God. They can't do it. Your parents can't tell you who God is. Only you, through an experience with God, only God can be revealed through a person so you know who He is. No one else can do that because no one else is God. God took something very familiar to Moses. God took a stick that was in Moses' hand. And in comparison to the task that God had called him to, it was quite inferior. Extremely inferior. Incapable for the task at hand. As a matter of fact, would have been considered a joke. A dirty stick that I've been whacking sheep around and hitting rocks with and poking beehives with to get high. Just a stick. Inferior. Inadequate to the highest degree. To go in to the ruler of the world, literally, and tell him, let all your slave workers go. God's told us to do some pretty incredible things. He said things you don't even know. Things you can't do on your own, but I'm going to do it through you. Why would God do that? Because God is love, and love always wants to share the fullness of all the good that it has. We do it with our children, and God does it with you. He wants to share that fullness of who you are. So God may take you to a sea. God may take you to a lake. God may take you to a stream. He may tell you to believe him for money to come out of a fish's mouth. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is God tells you, he will tell you something. He will put something in front of you that you can do, a task you can't do on your own. And you're either going to walk away from it because you feel incompetent, or your stick just isn't the staff of Pharaoh. Or you're going to believe God. And you're just going to say, I'm doing it. Well, what if it turns out? It doesn't matter how it turns out. It doesn't matter how it turns out. All that matters is that you do it. And you do it to maintain unity between you and the Father. And the unity between you and God isn't what you do. It's what you believe. And who you believe he is. Not just believing that he is God, but believe God. I believe what he said. And God took this inferior stick that was in Moses' hand, and God has to do this with us, probably most all the time. And he said, I want you to release it. And Moses threw it on the ground, because Moses said, I can't do what you're calling me to do. I mean, the Pharaoh, what is he going to think? What are the people going to think? He was in trouble with the law. It wasn't a good thought. It wasn't a good idea, Moses thought. This is just not, God, you're God, but this is just not a good idea. And God said, what's in your hand? And God's asking you the same thing today. Not what you don't have, not how little you have and how much you need. God's asking you a question today. What is in your hand? And Moses said, it's a stick. And God says, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground, and God began to do a wonder. That stick became a wonder in the mind of Moses. He turned it into a serpent, and the word says Moses jumped back. He was obviously afraid of snakes. I don't like snakes either. And then God said, pick it up, and pick it up by the tail. Okay. Now, Moses was telling God that he wasn't capable. Number one, he couldn't communicate the word of God. That's what he was telling God. And number two, there's just no, Pharaoh wasn't going to listen to him. And God said, I don't need Pharaoh to listen to me. I need you to listen to me. I just need you, Moses. I just need a vessel. I need a staff to work through. So God said, throw it down on the ground. See, it's amazing. Sometimes God can't show you who he is until it's out of your hands, until it's out of your control. And Moses threw it down on the ground, and God became the authority of that staff. It was called the staff of God. What a wonder. And then God said something. He said, pick it up. It's time to pick it up. He said, pick it up. So Moses picked it up and it turned back into a rod. It didn't matter what the staff turned into. That's not what God was after. God could do anything. But it's what Moses' mind turned into. It wasn't the change of the stick. It was a change of Moses' mind. He knew God was great because God could do something when it was out of his control. He could do a wonder. And then God said, but in order for you to wield this power and authority as I've commanded you, you're going to have to pick it up. You know, you've probably been to the point of being out of control and the stick being out of your hand. But it's time, God is saying to this generation, it's time to pick it up. It's time to pick it up. Take the serpent by the tail, pick up the stick, because this is no longer you. This is me. And God says, my power I'm putting in your hand. God is putting the power and the staff of authority in your hand. And go and say what is in your heart in faith and in confidence, and God will honor that. That's all you need to know, and that's all you need to do. It's good to be loving and kind and patient and meek and generous. And God may just require that you're just willing. He was just required of Moses that he was willing to do what God said. And then God did the wonders through the hand of Moses. God is doing wonders in this day and in this age and this generation through a people that said it doesn't matter. A people that will say it doesn't matter what I'm capable of. It doesn't matter how much I think I've lost. You didn't lose anything, because the reality of your blessing is not what's in your hand. It's what's in your heart. It's who you are. You might lose your sunglasses, but you can't literally lose your brain as long as you're alive. It's always going to be in your head. That's you. You can't get away from you, no matter how fast you run, how high you climb, or how hidden you become. And that's God in you. You can't get away from Him. The question is, are you ready to have relationship with who He is? Are you ready to enter the third heavens? Are you ready to go beyond your conscious awareness? Because God is going to do a new thing, and guess what? You're it. You're the new thing. You're the new thing. God is doing a new thing, and you're the new thing. God said, you're my temple. Who else would I use? You're a vessel. Who else would I use? God is after something in you. God is after the God He has placed on the inside of you. He's after Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. God is after you. Just like we believe someone dies, heaven had need of them. Well, God has need of you right here, and He's after you. There's a third heaven in the inside of you that God wants the world to experience. The Holy Spirit seeks the deep things of God. I can't even imagine what that would be. And He reveals them to you. He puts them inside of you. But religion and tradition by those before you have nothing to do with the reality of those that's in you. And that's the Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triad, the Trinity of Trinities, the God of all gods, the Spirit that dwells in you. And that reality is right here, right now. It is not coming any more than the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here. If God is omnipresent and He is His kingdom, how could it not be here? Is God absent? He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. But yet people looked at Him, and knowing that He was God, the Word says they knew Him as God, but would not worship Him as God. Are you ready to worship Him as God? Are you ready to get to know Him? Consider the Holy Spirit. Consider the wonder of God. God's going to make it real easy. Take up your staff, your faith. Go into Revelation. God's going to bring revelation into reality. Films, movies, plays, businesses are going to be built, delegated by the Spirit of the living God, the staff of the Lord. The governments will be upon His shoulders. If we just believe that as a body and stop screaming at the dark, we'll see the light of that reality come to pass. Just stand before those, however and whenever you are inclined to do so, and say, God is doing one thing. He's bringing unity, the unity of His will, into this meeting. And God's will is going to be done. And stand there courageous with all the faith and confidence in the world, no matter what it is. If your meeting is home in the kitchen with your husband or your wife or your children, God is going to be revealed here. God is going to bring unity. And our vote together as a family, as a body, is going to become unanimous. It's going to be the same, yes and amen, the agreement of God within us. We come together, if any two or three will agree and cast the doubt and unbelief out. I agree that the kingdom of God presides in me in its fullness. I agree that this is the greatest season of my life. Why do you keep saying Gary says? Why don't you say? you say, this is the greatest season of my life. Prophecy is not just God is saying. Prophecy is you saying what God said. He's already said it. This is what God says. I love how they did in the Old Testament. This is what the God Almighty of heaven and earth says. The Lord of the host of heaven, the Ancient of Days. What boldness. Take up the boldness and stand and declare. I can tell you what's going to happen today before we make any decisions. We're going to find unity and we're going to find the next step forward. We're going to walk into the future today. This is the greatest season of my life. God has pruned you. Now it's time to bear fruit. How did he prune me? By your faith and obedience. By letting everything go. By throwing the staff down. The stick down. And saying, God, turn it into a staff. Whatever pleases you. And I'll leave it there or I'll pick it up. You tell me what to do. And when God says pick it up, it doesn't look friendly. It looks terrifying. And God says, that's my wonder in your hands. So you don't fear anything. Because I am God with you. God is ever present with you. It's time to pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Stop trying to get out of everything. Get into something God has called you to get into. And you'll get out of what he doesn't want you in. Freedom is within you, not within the space. God wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants you free. And in that freedom, you'll walk away from everything without a second thought that is not for you. And you'll walk into everything that is. The children of Israel, the Hebrew children, they didn't walk into a fiery furnace. They walked into worship. Because they said, we're just going to worship God. He said, well, we're going to throw you in the furnace. They said, we can worship God in the furnace. They didn't get out of trouble. They got into praise. They got into worship. They got into a revelation. And the fire couldn't touch them. But it did touch the king around them. It did move the hearts of the people. Because when you're confident about who you are in Christ, you don't have to make anyone else believe it because you can't do it anyway. God said to Moses, I'm going to lead you out of the land of bondage, but it isn't Egypt. It's you. It's your mind. It's the mind of the people, the slavery, enslaved hearts and minds of the people. And God says, this is what we're going to do. We're not just leaving Egypt. We're going into the sea. Their freedom wasn't leaving Egypt. Their freedom was entering the sea. Your freedom is entering the sea. And what was in the sea? The breath of God. The will of the Father. The commandment of the Lord. Where is that? I will write my law, my commandments, my will, my word in your hearts. And in your minds will I inscribe them. And you will be my people and I will be your God. And not a God that stands afar off, but a God who else works through you? Who else lives and abides in you? What other profaned God, whatever called, other called God, entity dwells on the inside of you in the fullness of who he is? Because he's not dead, he's alive. And he's alive inside of you today. That's Christ in me. Would you stand with me today? I want you to just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I may not understand it all, but it's not for me to understand. It's for you to reveal in me and through me. I receive you as a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fill me with wisdom. Fill me with truth. Fill me with the reality of who you are, of who and what life is. Jesus, that's you. And Father, I'm ready to enter the third heavens. To go on to revelation. To go on to the spirit of power. I'm ready for the it is finished. Which means it's only just begun. Father, I receive it according to your will, your word, your spirit and your power. And we pull upon the heavens of God today. And we say, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. God has spoken. Be glorified, Father, I pray, in me take me from glory to glory. Your glory is endless. The revealing of who you are is endless. In the manger, on the cross, from the grave, from the heavens, in the cloud, in your people, you are God with us, and we'll experience every glory, and it will never end. And for this, God, we give you praise. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. God is speaking. It is time for a third heaven revelation. A new thing God is doing. A new thing God is doing. How much? It doesn't matter. Does it really matter how much? Determine a thing and say it, and that's what it is. Declare a thing without fear, and do not live in contradiction, but say of the Lord, this is what God will do. And then God will do it in His way. And you will say of the Lord, I've called on you, you've answered me, and you've shown me things beyond my expectations. And God will make those around you as they made Pharaoh, as God made Pharaoh, He will make those around you to be agreeable with you. These are the days of unity of the Spirit and the Son of God. This is the greatest season of your life. And Father, for it, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Everybody shout it. Come on, everybody shout. Lift your voice in the house. We worship you, O God. God of the heavens, God of the sea. God of glory, God in me. Praise you this day, and I thank you, Lord, I see. Let the bodies of your people be healed and let them walk free. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Health and healing in your body today. Jesus. Jesus. We walk into that today. We walk into that freedom. We walk into that liberty today. Whom the Son is made free is absolutely free indeed. You're free to build. You're free to build. You're free to build. You're free to spread your territory wider and wider. Expand it. Let your vision go far and wide. And let it be one, not of what you can do or what others can do for you, but what God is going to do through you. If you will do that, God will not only restore, He will not only bring you back, daughter of Israel, but He will give you an endless blessing, the favor of the Lord, of our God and of His Christ. This is that day. This is that hour. This is the doing of the Lord. And no one can stop it. Only just believe. And Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Say, everywhere I go, I find favor. Come on. Everywhere I go, I find joy. Come on. Everywhere I go, God shows me honor. Everywhere I go, something's going to grow because God has given me the seed of His word and its power. God has placed trees in your hand, just like seeds in the palm of your hand. The tree is there by the faith and the spirit of the truth of God. Plant it, die to itself, and it will grow into its reality. So are we. Die to yourself, and you'll grow into your reality. Christ in you is your hope of glory. He is ever present, holy, mighty God, the one and only Father, who dwells and abides and lives within you. You can believe this word through the year 20 and 25. Not a time, not a space, not just matter, but a reality of all the above. You will go places, see things, know things, do things, become more than you've ever known before. We're called a year of Jubilee, a feast of revelation, a vision from God, a new thing that you have become. So you don't just have to be a part of it. You are it. And God makes His reality your reality by His Spirit that dwells in you. It is essential that I go as you see me, Jesus said, that I may send you the promise of the Father, and you will be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and you will bear witness to who I am. These are that day. This is that day. And these are those days. Today, this is the day that God has made. I will rejoice. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, Jesus, see me, seeing you in me. Reality, Jesus, see me, seeing you in me, Jesus, 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 see me, seeing you in me. That's my reality. A seed that's become a tree. You are the planting of the Lord. Trees planted by the rivers of water. When it's hot, it doesn't matter. When there's a little water, it doesn't matter. When the wind blows, it doesn't matter. Whatever season it is, it doesn't matter. You are the trees. You are the planting of the Lord. You will bear fruit in its season. This is the season. There is no reason not to receive the prophecy of God. This is the day God has made. It's a day of rejoicing and being glad. I will make them agree with you. You've heard it once. You've heard it twice. You've heard it more times. Walk in it and rejoice in the Lord. I see this body and I see individuals walking in with such a gregarious, happy, joyful spirit and attitude that shocks everyone around you because they're ready for something else. And you say, I'm declaring with my staff of authority what this day is going to begin and what it's going to look like as it begins and what it's going to look like when it ends. This is a day of unity. Moses, it's time to pick it up. It's time to take the staff in your hand and make the command. Not by my might or power, but today I bring into this time, this gathering, this meeting, the joy and unity of the Father. And nothing else is welcome. We come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We're here today to obey the word of the Lord. That's who we are. And that's what we're going to do. And do it. And God is with you. And the Lord will make the entire room and the presence and the atmosphere agreeable with you. And you will see the blessing of the Lord, the Garden of Eden, the third heaven of God. This is that day. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, bless His holy name, Jesus, Redeemer, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You should celebrate this day. Every one of you should go out and celebrate this day. This is time to celebrate. If you didn't plan on it, you need to plan on it now. I'm going to go celebrate. In your way, you celebrate. Celebrate this day that God has made. And make it a declared celebration day. This is a day of celebration. There are birthdays in this house. There are birthdays out there. This is a day of celebration. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Celebrate the day. This is a day of celebration. Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate the Word of God. Celebrate a reality that is so beyond your past, so beyond your dictators, so beyond the rulers of the flesh, that you walk in the Spirit. Jesus said the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Come on, just receive it as the truth. Get to know Him. You're going to like Him a lot. Taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see. Leave religion and tradition behind. They're man's conception of what he can think in his mind. Are you bound in the prison of someone else's ideas, or are you freed by the mind of Christ, who is endless, eternal, and internal? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it with me. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say again. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Say today, this is the day that God has made. I will rejoice. I'm so glad in it, not mad in it, just glad in it, because this is it. God has made this day, and I will say, I'm blessed today. Only good can happen to me. Don't you see? Don't you see? Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, say it. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't resist it. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, one more time. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout in the house. How good is God? You can't deny the presence of the Lord. Selah.